Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us for the Sunday School lesson for December the 20th, 2020. We're so glad you come along today and made arrangements to turn your dial to listen to us. You didn't have to do that, but we appreciate it. Now, we don't want to delay you from Sunday School and church. That's the reason we do it at 8 o'clock. Hopefully you can get to church and listen and get your teeth brushed and your ears washed.
There you go.
And get on to church. Our lesson is continuing in the theme of the things, the emotions that we have. The various type of emotions that we live with as human beings. And they come and go. Last week we dealt with fear, and so this week I'm glad we got on joy.
Amen.
I'm tired of being afraid.
Joy of Christmas.
I want to be happy a while.
That's right. Merry Christmas.
We all three just before we started this sang, "I've got the joy."
Right. Lord. We just had to have a little.
But I see those hands requesting us to sing it, but you don't really mean that. But anyhow, whether we sounded good or whether we didn't, it brought joy to us to be able to say that. Now, Psalms 95, the first three verses, and then we're going to go to Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 14. Why are we going to Luke, reckon?
Ooh, the greatest joy of all, Christmas time joy,
yes,
man.
Yes, it is.
Yes, sir, when Jesus
story.
Is born.
And so we hope you will join us, and we hope you will embrace joy. But that being said, we need to tell you who we are and then how prayer.
We are Mike Hall, for one. Mike Hall, pastor of New Salem Baptist Church, Reform, Alabama. So
and we
proud.
Are Brandon Pinion, pastor of Moores Bridge Baptist Church.
And we have Herschel Owen, who is in Gordo, Alabama. And I have retired, I guess, from pastoring. But I've been preaching. I hadn't got to go to my own church for the last four Sundays until Sunday. And I've been preaching. So I've been enjoying the preaching.
Amen.
But whether
they have or not, you've been enjoying doing it.
That's right. They have. That's exactly right. I don't know. I don't remember if they told me. They didn't tell me they didn't know. That
was
an improvement.
Well, you know, that's
good.
That
was good.
A good
thing.
Good. At least they didn't say
wasn't
that.
Wasn't any booing going on, huh?
Yeah, that was an improvement.
Well, my old grandpa left church one Sunday morning after one of the student preachers from Sanford had come and preached in the church. And that little old young preacher had all the spit and vinegar in his veins, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Pop was on heart medicine, on up in years, and he just kind of take a nap every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And as he come out, that little old preacher thought he was doing something. He said, "Mr. Carpenter," said, I noticed you sleeping a little bit during the service this morning. Daddy said, "Yeah, son, I've slept through some good preaching before, too." And on out the door he went. So.
Well, mentioning that, you heard about this new preacher. Went to the church and is out in the country, and of course they left the door open on the front. I preached in some churches like that.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
So he got up to preach, and there was a big old dog laying in
I had it happen to me.
Have you? Oh, well, I hope you didn't do what happened here. Big old dog laying right up there next to the front in one of the aisles. And he kept thinking, well, when's somebody going to get up and get that dog out here? So he took it as long as he could. Now, remember, he's new. He's young. He walked down there and kicked the fire out of that dog. The old dog yelped and got up and limped out of the church. Well, one of the ladies said, "Son, you in trouble." Said, "That dog belongs to the chairman of the deacons."
Uh-oh.
And he always lays right up there every service. And he ain't going to take lightly to this. So he saw him coming, and when he was shaking hands, and he said, "Sir, I'm afraid. I'm sorry. If I'd known that was your dog, I wouldn't have kicked him for anything in the world." And the old deacon said, "Son, that's all right. I wouldn't have had my dog here. Sorry, sermon, like that for anything in the world. So we got to be careful now how we handle these situations.
Yep,
I don't
absolutely.
Think there was any joy left there.
All right.
Embracing joy. Embracing joy. Jesus is the real source of joy.
Indeed, he is.
Nothing else arises.
No doubt about it.
New car. The new car smell will be gone. The pavements continue.
And
by the house, the hot water heater is going to come out and go out.
Yep. And sooner or later.
Power bills are going to get high. So that ain't joy. So Jesus is the source of real joy. Now, this is Christmas season. Wow. How many more days to Christmas?
5 days, praise the Lord. Just five more days.
And so I hope and pray that y'all have got the right idea and the right opinion about Christmas. But this is bittersweet, this celebration and all of Christmas. We love to get together with our family, and we love the joy of sitting around the table. But we miss some of those that were there last year. Now they've gone on to be with the Lord, or else this old COVID-19 has affected them, and they're not able to be there. So it's a bittersweet thing. So real joy can't be just sitting around the table with our family, because there's something there that will rob us of part of the joy. So we're going to talk about experiencing real joy, and real joy. Our joy should certainly not be controlled by circumstances. God help us if we're not going to be happy till the circumstances get right. There is much joy in the bright lights, in the gay wrapped presents, but these are just artificial things.
Right.
Soon that paper will be all swatted up and thrown over on the floor, and Mama got to pick it up and take care of it. Pardon me. Our true joy should be in the person and purpose of the Christmas celebration. So, Mr. Hall.
Yes?
Would you read that first set of scripture, and we're going to see the ingredients for real joy.
Well, he ought to lead us in a word of prayer before we do that.
I'll pray right quick. Let's pray.
Pray first and then preach second.
Dear Lord, we're going to read your word, mm-hmm. and then we're going to try our best, Lord, to expound on it in a way that will help us all to better understand you're saying to us through your word. So we just ask you now. You'll take this time that we spend together in study of your word and use it for our good and for your glory in Christ's name. Amen.
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 Psalm 95. We'll start in verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
Okay. Amen.
That is God.
That's right. Joyful singing. I'm glad. I'm glad the Lord didn't say, I want pretty
singing.
Here
we go. Here we go.
I got to have melodious singing.
He's going to sing now. He's going to sing. Y'all don't let him do it.
I do. I want to sing. I wish I could. I just wear this radio program out, but I don't want to run all of our.
I was just thinking this morning, before we got started and all, I've got a good bit of problems now with my lungs and so forth, and so I have a lot of. I used to love to sing, boy, I love to sing. I'd just rear back and just belt it out and let it go, whether it's good or not. It didn't.
You still do a fairly good job.
But I about got to where that don't happen anymore. But I love to sing. My mama loved to sing. Mama could not, God bless her, she couldn't, she couldn't carry a note if you put it in a basket and handed it to her. She did, and to the top of her lungs, she would sing.
She'd belt it out, huh?
Yes, sirree, outside when she'd be. I can still see her. hanging out clothes and singing with that pitiful voice.
Yep.
But I know she can sing in heaven today.
Yeah,
so that's
right.
That's good. That's good.
Well, what is singing anyhow? It's not just never missing a musical note. Because if that happened, brother, I ain't never sung. I don't get. It's not always having a perfect singing voice. I have done some crazy things
in my life.
I
want you to tell that.
And we had a great friend in our Pickens Baptist Association. Great friend. And I'm going to go ahead and tell his name. I may get sued.
Nah. But
his name was Sid Lanier. Sidney Lanier. There's a school down south here, isn't it, by the name of Sidney Lanier?
It is.
I may have been named it after him.
Might have been.
But anyhow,
but it's not a singing school, though.
Sid was like me. He just couldn't sing well at all. And one Sunday, after I'd left the church I was in then and didn't have anywhere to preach, I went to hear Sid preach. And he called on me to pray. And I do not know till this hour where this came from. But amongst the things I prayed for, I prayed that God might help Sid's singing voice. Now, I mean, and the moment I said it, if I could have crawled through the floor, I would have done it. I'm sure there was a shock. Silence that went over that church, and I'm sure folks said, "Get out of here right now."
No.
And if it wouldn't have been disrespectful to him, I'd have got out.
No, old Sid loved you anyway.
He did. He was a great forgiving friend. He's gone up in heaven, and God has given him a singing voice.
Amen.
Yes, he has. No doubt.
So he's probably praying for my singing voice now.
He may be.
But anyhow, what do you think? Let's try to put that in some kind of perspective that is sing unto the Lord.
Well, I think really the Lord saw down through the corridors of time and the hallways of history, because in the next statement, he said, "Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." And he knew that everybody wasn't going to be able to sing.
Yeah, I can do it joyfully now.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's what he meant.
And it's more of a noise than it is singing.
Absolutely, in a lot of cases, Mike. It
absolutely,
is.
Yes, it is.
And I think the wisdom of God is demonstrated mightily in that statement.
Absolutely.
It is.
Yes, it is.
It is. It's joyful noise. What is joy? Somebody help me with that. I sure do want to make one of them kind of noises one of these days.
Well, I tell a lot of times that to me, happiness is like the thermostat. You know, it just goes up and down, and you can turn it up. But joy is more. I mean, a thermometer. Happiness is more like a thermometer. It goes up and down, and sometimes you're happy, sometimes. But joy is more like a thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
God just keeps it set on that level plane. And though our happiness goes up, you know, our joy stays level. If our happiness goes down, our joy stays level. Our joy in God is not controlled by our circumstances. The joy is in trusting God and knowing that no matter what happens, good or bad, God's in control.
I believe I had one in thermostats in my room. We just got back off a little trip. My wife, she been wanting to make this little trip for 2 or 3 years, so we did. Her sister has Alzheimer's, and asked y'all without knowing her name or anything about her to pray. You pray in people for her, because this probably will be the last trip that she would make like that, and she didn't really realize much about the trip anyhow. But anyhow, first night we got there, my wife can't sleep if the temperature is above 60
night. Oh, no.
So here I am in a strange town with a strange heat system, and I got to try to get it around 60. I did everything known to man to try to. I'd get back in bed. And then all of a sudden the heat had come on. I'd go over there and look, and it was where I had set it on 60, it now said 74.
Oh, no.
I turned the air conditioner on. It'd stay a little while, and then all of a sudden I knew it was changing to heat. I'd get up, and the air was 74. And I fought that thing all night long. So that wasn't a good thing. You said no. The thermostat said stayed the same. Uh-huh. Well, in this case, it wasn't good.
No, it wasn't good.
But it wasn't your thermostat.
No, it was not. And it wasn't God's thermostat, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. God just didn't want you to be cold, though. He wanted you to be 74.
So. Well, I was not cold. But I learned it had three switches. One was heat, one was cooling, and one was off.
Uh-huh.
And I hit the off one.
You hit the off one, and that was good
enough. It stayed with the off one hit. It stayed about 68 or 70 degrees, night and
no
day.
Matter what.
I just said, we're going to have to live with that.
That's it. Do the best you can.
But anyhow, let's get back on the real thing here about this joy business. And so joy, you think, is like a thermostat that no matter what you do to it, and it's just gonna stay joy.
Well, as a pastor, you know, we deal with a lot of you know, ups and downs in life. I love it when my folks invite me to, you know, their weddings or their children's graduations, and you know, things like that, celebrations, birthdays, family reunions, the joyful times. I enjoy the far out of all of that, but we're also there when, you know, when things are not so joyful, when there's been death or sickness and things that are, you know, not so joyful. We have to deal with that on a regular basis. But you know, when you do, I get down a lot of times. I don't mind telling anybody. I do. I get sad, and my optimism gets kind of gone. But, you know, those are the times when it just feels like it's most wonderful to fellowship with God and to feel the presence of God, because He keeps you from bottoming out, you know. It's just something about finding that quiet place that we talked about last week and spending some time with God. Then's when you want to sing, you know, then's when you want to just rear back and just sing a song to the Lord, make that joyful noise to God, give Him thanks, give Him praise, because you know what He's going to do.
Right.
I was talking to a young man just a couple of days ago. Well, I know unless God intervenes, it's not going to be on this earth very much longer. And he was wanting so badly to live, and he wanted me to pray for him to recover. And the doctors, of course, have already done all they can do and told him so. But anyway, he said, I don't understand, because I don't want to die. I want to live so badly, and I want God to answer my prayer that way. He said, what's God going to do? Now, you sit there and you want to say, God, boy, God's just going to do exactly what you want him to do. He's going to heal you. He's going to make you up from here and go camping. He loved to camp. But I don't know where it came. It didn't come from me. It had to come from God. Just said, he's either going to heal you just as you want him to and get you back on your feet and make you a testimony to his majesty and his miracle working power, or he's going to give you peace about going home. And I thought, wow, I wish I'd have thought of that. That's pretty good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, because that's just the way God is. God comes through in our darkest hour, and boy, he can just come through and give you that joy and that peace in your heart. To me, that's what joy is. Joy is just knowing that I've got that place. You know, I've got that place that I can run to, and I know he's going to grab me with his open arms, and he's going to pick me up, and he's going to hold me like a daddy holding a child, and it's going to be okay, no matter what.
Yeah. The song says there is a place of constant rest near to the heart of God. Near to the heart of God. And further what you just said about either how God works, little boy lost his special marble. And folks don't play marbles anymore, don't they?
No.
But he did. And his grandmother saw him looking so sad. And she said, "Son, what's the matter?" And he said, "I lost my best marble. I lost my
lost
best.
His toy.
Lost his toy.
That's it."
And so she said, "Well, why don't you go upstairs and ask God to help you find it?" So he went on upstairs and came back down. 2 or 3 days went by, and he didn't say anything, and she hadn't either. So she said, "Son, did God help you find your toy, your special marble?" He said, "No, ma'am, but he made me not want to find it."
Sometimes that's what God does.
So yeah. That's the joy.
He gives us that joy. Joy.
That satisfaction.
Joy and happiness are totally two different things.
That's right.
Because you can have joy when you're happy, and you can also have joy when you're sad.
Right.
It's just all about where you look for joy. And in this whole society we live in today, you know, we hear all the time, advertising, I was a part of it for years, but advertising constantly tells you, you deserve this, and mm-hmm. you deserve that, and you're so sweet, precious, good, and you deserve to be happy. I saw a movie, one of those Hallmark Christmas movies before they started getting so filled with all the other mess.
Yeah.
But several years ago, and this girlfriend was breaking up with the old boy, you know, and told him she was through with him and all that. She said, I want you to be happy. And he just looked at her and he said, "Oh, I'm going to be happy." And, you know, and she thought she was just breaking his heart all mm-hmm. to pieces. He said, "I'm going to be happy."
Yeah.
And we can, you know, I don't want you to talk to the devil because I don't want you having a conversation with him, but we can say to the devil, "I'm going to be happy. I mean, I'm going to be joyful. I may not be happy, but I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to have the joy of God that lives within me. That same joy that I had yesterday when I was on top of the mountain, I'm going to have tomorrow when I'm in the valley. And everywhere in between."
Recently, Dolly Parton, who I've always admired, and country singer, and she's been, you know, been religious. And I say religious, but I don't like the word religious. I like Christian.
Right.
But the other night, there was a program on public television
mm-hmm. right.
that showed her all her songs, or a lot of her songs. And one of the ones she sang, I wish she hadn't, it was Two Doors Down.
Oh, yeah.
Two Doors Down,
drinking and
having a party. And I thought, and she even poured something in a glass. I noticed she didn't drink it. She set it aside. But now your joy is not found in Two Doors Down where the party is.
No, 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 no.
You got a headache down there.
Yeah, joy's not in the laughing and drinking and having a party. But the world thinks it is. No, the devil has sold that.
Yeah, the devil is trying to get us to believe that joy and happiness is one and the same. I can find happiness sometimes. You know, I bought a new truck several years ago.
I've been envious of you.
Several years ago.
I got to confess, covet you that truck.
You better talk to God.
And Brandon has, too.
You better talk to God. But I was happy camper coming home that new mm-hmm. truck. I was riding up there. I was styling and profiling, man.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy. But my joy wasn't any greater than it had been, nor was it any less.
Right.
I was singing and telling God, "Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is fun. This is great. This is wonderful." But now, look, that's temporary stuff, and I know good and well one of these days that old plastic will be cracking and the paint will be peeling and rusty, and it'll look more like me than it does what it does right now.
Or your wife will drive it like my black car that I love.
She got it
well.
Today.
Huh?
She got it today.
Well, she got the good red one. I've got the black one that she put all. Oh, you put
all the dents.
I'm talking about Mr. Hall.
My sweet wife has got my pretty red truck today.
Well, I
got her old browning.
I hope she'll be better with it than mine was my
I do
black
too.
Car.
Oh, I do too.
But anyhow, That car, I came over here today in it. It got me here. I hope it'll get me home. So my joy was not in that vehicle.
Yep.
Whatsoever. But now look at this. Let us sing unto the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Why in the world would the psalmist talk about a rock of our salvation?
Well, because in the rock you have some stability. I am amazed at New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And until several years ago, I read an article about why in some areas within just a block or two, you've got a high rise that's looks like it's 100-story high.
Mm-hmm.
And then just down the street from it, you've got smaller buildings. And I come to find out that New York City is built on a layer of rock. And the layer of that rock gives them stability and strength to build those high-rise like the Empire State Building.
All right.
And others less, the Twin Towers, for example,
mm-hmm.
and those buildings surrounding it. It's because of the rock and the strength and the stability that rock gives to those buildings.
Yeah.
And the rock that he's talking about here is the salvation that gives us the strength and the stability when we stand in the presence of the Son of God.
Amen.
For judgment.
Amen. What about in the wilderness wandering? I agree with you. That's certainly what it is. The rock is the foundation. That rock is a solid foundation. But what about in the wilderness wandering? The Jewish people were kind of like people today. They never were satisfied. God gave them manna from heaven, angel food to eat. And they ate it a while, but they got dissatisfied. They wanted some quails. They wanted
some meat.
So God sent them quails. And then all of a sudden they, in the wilderness, you could imagine, they had trouble finding water. Where'd they get their water from?
Out of a rock.
Oh.
The Lord told Moses, said, go over there. And one time told him to hit the rock.
Yeah.
Another time told him to speak to the rock. But any which way, the rock opened up and gave him water. I don't know.
It got him in trouble, though.
It got old Moses in a mess when he hit it instead of speaking.
Because he didn't get to go to the promised land.
He didn't. That's right.
Do you know what it says over in Corinthians about that rock?
What did it say?
It said that rock was Jesus.
That rock was Jesus. Ooh, that's good. I might have to get me a sermon out of that. I like that.
Yep.
If you already got one written, let me know. I might need it.
Well, I got one for sale.
One for sale. But that is good. Yeah.
But that's what Paul said in the book of Corinthians.
That rock was Jesus. How about that?
Can you imagine
the
Jesus
water,
was with
the
them?
The water of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, water is more basic to life than even food is.
Oh, it is. Many times more basic.
Yeah. Wow. That's good. I got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, and I'll help you work on that sermon.
All right.
But that's what it said. Now, when I think about, I'm on a good footing because
good
of
solid
Jesus.
Rock of footing. Yes.
But also, He gave me what you said a while ago,
right?
The thing that sustains life and gave me eternal life. Do you know that I'm going to live forever?
Oh, absolutely. I am too.
Yeah. And I have bad lungs. Mike mentioned a while ago that he has bad lungs. I do too. But Pinion does.
Yeah.
Pinion is on dialysis. And so, you know, mm-hmm. we go through some trials and tribulations. But we got joy regardless.
Absolutely.
Regardless.
Absolutely.
We've got joy.
Yeah.
But we are on, all of us here are on a solid foundation, and that foundation is Jesus. We also have been given the water of life, and that produces eternal salvation, eternal life. Mike, would you tell them about salvation?
Well, salvation is, as we like to use Christian words, you know, salvation, born again, all of that kind of stuff. But now listen, I want to break it down real simple. Real simple, down the cookies on the bottom shelf. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. It's Bible speak, of course, as folks would say. But you know, the truth of the matter is we know we've done stuff we ought not to do. That's the bottom line. And in so doing, we've gone against the things that God would want us to do. Nobody on earth can say that I hadn't done that. Even a brand newborn baby, you know, they're born with that instinct to do things they shouldn't do. How many of you have ever had to teach a baby how to do wrong? You spend your life trying to teach them how to do right.
But Mike, you saying that little baby's going to hell?
No, I'm not. I'm saying that baby, at the beginning of his life, is still going to do stuff that's not
that's right.
According to God's will. And
because of the sin nature.
Because of right. Sin nature. Things that are not right. He's going to do some of those. Then when he reaches the age of accountability, that's another Bible, not a Bible speak, but a church speak stuff that we do. But when a child grows up to the point of understanding what's right and wrong, then Jesus Christ said, here's the deal. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. We've all done things we shouldn't do. But he said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. On that old rugged cross, Jesus Christ took his sinless life and sacrificed it to take upon himself my sinful life. So he traded. He swapped with me. He said, I want to make you perfect. And in order to make you perfect, I'll take upon myself your imperfection. And I will die so you don't have to. And because of that, if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, so the Bible clearly says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. If I believe that he is the Son of God, I believe he died for me, and I place myself in his hands in true faith. Then he says, thou shalt be saved. He doesn't say maybe, can be, might be, temporarily be. He says, you shall be saved. My relationship with Jesus began when I was about 11 years old. I'll never forget the sermon, the Sunday. Don't remember a thing about the sermon, but I remember the conviction of God that came on my heart. And old David Richardson looked over at me and he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He was the same age I was. But he had already been saved and he knew, and I did. I believed, I stepped out in the aisle and I went and shook that preacher's hand. And I don't know what exactly the preacher said, but I know I said one thing. I want to be saved.
Amen.
Because I did. And I've not been perfect since then. But boy, I tell you what, I've been chastised time and again. And I've had many times when I've had to come back and get that relationship right with God. But he's always been faithful to me. Always been faithful to me. So today, if you where I was, and you know that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God, you know you've done things you shouldn't do. Right now, would you just say, hey, I know. I know that Jesus is the Son of God. I know he died for me. And right now, I want to be saved. Lord, I want you to save me. Then you can rise up and say, thank you, God, for saving me, because he will. But don't stop there. Get in a Bible-believing, God-fearing church, because if you don't, Satan's going to wear you out. He's going to come at you with every piece of artillery he's got at his disposal in hell. He's going to try his best to come against you. You're going to need God, and you're going to need God's church. Get you in a good, God-fearing, Bible-believing, true church of God, and serve him with all you've got as long as you live.
Amen, brother. That'll preach. Well, that scripture that I was talking about is in 1 Corinthians 10. Paul said, moreover, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant now that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. That was when they left Egypt. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Praise God, we got something to be joyful over.
Amen. Praise the Lord, ain't it the truth?
Amen.
Wow.
We got something to be joyful over.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And I hope and pray that that's the case with you. Mike has put it as plain as it can be put. You will never have an excuse when you stand before God if you don't do what he has so wonderfully told you about there. Now, as they went to pray in their make their joyful noise, verse 2 said they came with thanksgiving. Tell us about being thankful for opinion.
Well, after reading verse 1, where it says, let us sing unto the Lord and make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation, then he says, as a result of that, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, thankfulness, because he is our rock.
Right.
Thankful because we do have a song to sing.
Amen.
And a joyful noise to make.
Amen.
Not that we might be a good singer, but that we can just sing praises to him because the joy in our heart just has to come out.
Amen. Absolutely.
I refer to old Bibles, bus driving days when kids was something, but I had a lady jump on the bus one day and, you need to watch my kid more often. You need to look back there and see what's going on. I said, lady, when I'm watching your kid, what am I not watching?
The rules.
So I want to ask you another question. When you're thankful, what are you not? And that word is selfish.
Yeah.
When you're thankful, you
That's
cannot
right.
be selfish.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us that God literally hates selfishness. He hates that envy that we have for others and that desire we have for what other folks have and so forth. God hates that kind of thing. He hates that pride that comes from being envious and selfish and self-centered, which is where we are in so many ways in our society today. When you're thankful, it's hard to be prideful, because thankfulness says, I know where this come from. I'm thankful to the one who provided it. So if I'm thankful for it, then that means I'm telling God, I know you gave it to me. So I'm not prideful in myself because I went out and got this. I earned this. I deserve this. A person like that is not thankful at all.
No.
Because, we talk so much, and it's the truth in our society, about entitlement. You're entitled to this. You're entitled to that. No, I'm not. Mm-mm. I'm not entitled to the next breath I take. I'm entitled to a place in hell. I'm entitled to the worst things of life, not the best, because I haven't earned or deserved
right.
any of it.
Amen.
But our great God above all things loved me and gives to me. And so with thanksgiving, I can come to him because I'm not selfish and prideful and self-centered.
Do you reckon that anybody that is selfish can ever have joy?
No. You look at that old Pharisee that came to the altar. At the time that old boy came to the altar and he was crying out, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And the other old Pharisee came and said, thank you, God, that I'm not like
mm-hmm.
him. Come on, man. Come on. That's not thankfulness.
Mm-mm.
He said, thank you, God, that I'm not like him. But he's talking about himself. He's
right.
talking about me.
Right.
Listen, it's not that way. It's not that way. Joy doesn't come from being self-centered. Because when you're self-centered and when you're selfish and envious of others, you're never satisfied.
Right.
And if you're not satisfied, how in the world are you going to be joyful?
You can't be.
Because you're always miserable looking for something else, wanting more, wanting something you ain't got.
When I was in school in Florida many years ago, I pastored a church that was just across the railroad from a big sawmill.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was the kind of sawmill that when the earlier days They floated the logs down the Choctachee River. They fished them out of the river and sawed them up. The man that owned the sawmill was a rich man, had plenty. Owned a lot of land. But his theme was, I don't want everything, but I just want what joins me. And I've thought that several times about the selfishness that you mentioned, Mike. That man might have had some happiness. But I doubt he had a lot of joy.
He had no joy.
Because he couldn't get everything that joined him.
That's right.
Because that is everything.
It just keeps going.
Exactly. When we come before his presence with thanksgiving, then it's easy to make a joyful noise unto him.
Oh, yeah.
It's easy because I can come to him. Now, if I come to church and I'm looking at old Brown over there and he got on a brand new suit that sure is pretty.
I doubt that's me now.
Maybe I better change that story. I look over at Herschel.
Yeah.
Well, no, I've still got to change it because I don't even want a suit myself. So I better change that. I see old Herschel's got a pocket full of money. I can tell that's and I say, wow. You know, man, and the whole service, I'm thinking, boy, I wish I had his money. I'm not going to sit there and be thankful, and I'm not going to be joyful.
I'm mad because I don't have his money.
Angry. I'm upset. I'm ill.
That's right.
You know, and it's that way with anything.
Makes me mad, too, because he's got so much.
Makes me mad, too. I can't help it.
Makes me mad that y'all think I have and I have.
Well, you know how
I got more than I deserve.
Amen. We all do.
All of us have.
Far more than I deserve.
And I am thankful for it.
And that's what brings about a whole lot of sadness and a whole lot of lack of joy in the world today because people don't appreciate what they really have.
Right.
They want more. They want something they don't have. Or they think somebody else has got it better and I deserve that too. That's just, come on now. Come before him with thanksgiving for what you have.
Amen.
Make that joyful noise that says, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise him with psalms, which is hymns of praise.
Can you have joy without thankfulness?
I don't hardly see how, to be honest with you. I don't hardly see how.
Some people claim to have the joy of Jesus, but then when you talk to them, they're always wanting something else they don't have. And then you begin to realize they're not so joyful after all.
No, they don't.
Because that's what causes so many family problems. My goodness, families in trouble because old so-and-so got more than I did. When Daddy died, he got 5 acres of land, and I didn't get but 4.5. You know, I mean, we just, come on. This old world ain't about none of that junk, you know?
So many in our churches and in our communities.
Absolutely.
That feel exactly that way.
Exactly that way.
I am dealing with some now.
Yeah.
That are, it was personal.
Right.
And I can speak it because it is personal. I'm dealing with it. Saw the man the other day and told him, I said, I'm praying for you every day, call your name before God every day. And I've been faithful to do that, and I'm going to keep on doing
it
until God does something with him.
God will. And I think about that so much of life that we miss because of that lack of thanksgiving and appreciation for what we do have. Because I promise you, when you leave this old world, a lot of folks will say, well, the only thing you go on when you leave this world is the grave you're laying in. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even own that. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't even own that. Throw you in a cave.
It's just borrowed for a while.
Exactly. Just as Jesus borrowed his tomb for 3 days, we just going to borrow a hole to lay in till the time comes because that old cemetery is going to look like a screen door on a submarine when the Lord gets through pulling bodies up out of there and folks up out of there.
But if you don't come with that first group,
first of all, I didn't know a submarine had screen doors.
But if you don't come with that first group that are resurrected, It's going to be a sad day.
It's going to be a sad, sad day. It is
so,
indeed.
Make sure the song says your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Solid rock.
That
That's
rock
right.
is Jesus.
That's right.
He's
That's
the
right.
one.
That's right.
All right. Look at verse 3. We're going to have to move on here pretty quickly. But
for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all God. I love that. I love that because, you know, we've had this big old presidential election.
Yeah.
I like that sign. It's over at Calvary Church when Reform Gordo.
Yeah.
Did you see that sign?
I did.
Yeah, it said no matter who's in the White House, God is still king.
Amen.
Woo, Jesus is still king. You got that right. It don't matter who the president is. Jesus is still the king. And it tells us God is a great God. I like that part. But, boy, if you stop right there, you're in a mess because you could actually say, well, but there's other gods. No, there's not.
Uh-huh.
No, he is a great king above all gods. And then the all gods is a little g.
That's right.
A little g because all other gods that we worship or we think we love.
Man-made.
They're nothing. Our God, Jehovah, is king above them all. There's nothing else that even comes close.
That's a foolish thing that little G God. Bible says a man cut a tree down, took part of it, and warmed himself with it, took a part of that same tree, cooked his food with it, and then took the leftovers of the tree and made him a little...
Carved him out a little God.
A little
Bless
God.
Bless his heart. Bless
with
his
a
heart.
Little G.
Bless his heart.
Well, sir, y'all please think about joy. Don't think about what comes if you look at Christmas wrong or you look at life wrong and you have a selfish and self-centered attitude. Think about not what you deserve, but what you didn't get that you really did deserve because of Jesus. You didn't get hell. You didn't get eternity in the pits of flaming fire. So be thankful, for God is... He is the only God,
Absolutely.
And indeed he is great. Mike, read that next section.
We better go to Luke chapter 2. This is part of the wonderful, true Christmas story. I saw a movie the other night, and they were when they said, we're going to read the Christmas story, and they started reading, you know, the story about not a creature stirred, not even a mouse. And I got so ill. I said, that's not the Christmas story.
Here's part of it.
Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Okay, so Jesus brings joy, first of all, because he fulfilled what the Bible said in the prophecy about where he was going to be born. What was strange about that, Mike?
Well, this what all is strange, what's not strange about that when you get down to all of it, really. Because when you read the story, you know, Joseph was living in Galilee, but he come up out of Galilee into Nazareth to Judea. But he had to go all the way to Bethlehem because Joseph was of the lineage of David. That was, we talked about the heritage, the place where we come from. The place where we belong, our inheritance. Joseph had to go all the way there because that's where David was from.
Do you think he and Mary talked about maybe a month or so ahead of that and said, you know, we're gonna take Jesus to Jerusalem. We're gonna go to Jerusalem, have this baby born. We're gonna have fine.
He needs to be born in the palace.
That's right.
He needs to be
so
born.
This baby's gonna be. They didn't. Plan for this.
No, this wasn't in the plan. Their plan.
No.
It was in God's plan, but not their plan. And so they went on down to Bethlehem, the house of bread is what the Bethlehem means. So they went on down to Bethlehem, and they climbed up on the top floor of the First National Bank of Bethlehem. And
looked down and picked them out a real high-rise condominium.
Oh, Lordy, no. They went down to the stable. Went down to the stable. We sang that song yesterday. Have y'all ever sung that old song about how when Jesus was born? Away in a cow trough.
That's what it is.
We take that word manger and we made it. Oh, it sounds so sweet. You know, the way of the little manger. But now, when I grew up, a cow trough was where the old cows come and they'd eat out of it and they'd licked it till the old boards were just smooth as silk.
Right.
And you know, old slobber everywhere. But anyway, that's where to the lowest of the low. The lowest of the low. They couldn't go even into the inn, which really and truly, you and I wouldn't want to spend a night in that inn, Brian, and I'll tell you we wouldn't. The inns of that
Herschel
day.
Well, would have trouble with the thermostat.
I would.
He'd have trouble. I don't believe there would have been no thermostat.
Well, why in the world? Now, God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills.
And the hills they walk on.
But he owns hills, too. Yeah.
He does. Why would he pick a little nasty place like this for his only begotten son to be born?
Well, let's just say for a moment, for the sake of the point, what if God had said, I want my baby to be born in a palace? Mm-hmm. And so Mary and Joseph, even though they were lowly means, went mm-hmm. to the palace mm-hmm. and they had their baby. What would have happened? We'll fill the ballroom, and we'll have live music, and it would have been for the elite. What would those old shepherds have been welcome to come
no,
to that palace?
No, not at all.
You know, what about it? I mean, I know the wise men probably would. They were the enlightened ones. They might would have gotten to come in, but they wouldn't have been allowed to kneel and to worship the baby Jesus because that's where the king was, in the palace. There would have been other authority there. And Jesus went to the place where we are.
Okay.
I'm down there. I'm in the stable. I'm down there with the cows and the hogs.
That's where.
Now, let me ask a question. Does the natural process of birth play into this? See, 9 months is usually
right.
The period of gestation before a child is born.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, my question is, and I know the answer,
right?
But I want our listening audience to know the answer. I know God did it.
Absolutely.
The way God wanted mm-hmm. it done.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the way it needed to be done.
Right.
But some skeptic out there,
yeah.
or some doubter out there, or some unbeliever out there is going to say, well, it was just due then.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
That's not true.
And another skeptic is going to say, on December the 25th, they wouldn't have been out there because it was December 25th. It might be cold.
Yeah, right.
I'll answer that one first. The average winter temperature in Bethlehem, around Bethlehem, is 43 degrees, about the same thing as the average winter temperature in Lake City, Florida. So if you're going to doubt Jesus being born when he was born, he was born when he was born because that was God's time.
There you go. You nailed it. The days were
That's
accomplished
it.
That
yeah.
she should be delivered.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It was God's
That's
time.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I agree with that. But now, you've got those out there
I know it.
That are going to try
oh, yeah.
to try to
oh,
shoot
yeah.
holes in it.
Yes, but there's
we
no holes
about
in that.
The 25th. Listen, I ain't worried about the 25th, but I tell you, don't doubt the Bible, because the Bible, I don't remember it saying in Luke about December the 25th.
No.
But I ain't going to worry about it. if it was December the 25th, it could have been.
The best I see is where it says, the days were accomplished.
That's right.
That she should be delivered, and she brought forth the baby.
That's right.
That when God's ready.
And that's the important
that's
part.
That's it. That's the important part.
Let me say the incorruptible joy that Jesus brings. First, because of his fulfilling the Bible in where he was born.
That's right.
Secondly, because his fulfilling prophecy about his family lineage.
Yep, that's right.
And third, he was virgin born.
That's
we didn't
right.
mention that, but we got to.
That's right.
Oh, certainly.
The world says he wasn't virgin born. They say that Mary had an affair with somebody, or that was Joseph's baby.
No.
But what does the book say? Virgin born. Is that important?
Absolutely.
Why?
He did not have the blood of Joseph in his veins.
And why?
Because Joseph had the fallen blood of man.
Right.
The man, the seed of fallen man in his system.
And that is the only person that ever has been or ever will be virgin born.
That's it.
Yeah. And don't need another one.
Even Adam was created. He wasn't virgin born. He was created. So when you put it all down, there it is, plain and simple.
And he also, finally, the fourth reason, he was born in poverty, and he understands needy people because of his earthly life.
Yeah.
He understands those who have plenty because of his heavenly life.
That's right.
He lived in heaven and left heaven to come to earth to be born and to live like one of us.
He came to a place where anybody could come.
Right.
You know, if he'd been born in a palace, I would have been forbidden. We would have been.
Wouldn't let me
in. You can't go to the palace. You're not allowed in here. But even a king can come to the manger. He can come to the cow trough. He can come to the barn. So, you know, the barn is the place where anybody can come.
Well, let's read that last scripture.
Read it quickly. All right, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Talk about Mike, talk about the information about Jesus. Who heard about it? Who told it?
First of all, we see there's shepherds. Well, so God gives us the image of a bunch of Bedouin shepherds out on the hillside. Most likely these were the shepherds that tended the flocks that most oftentimes many of the sacrifices would have come from in those days because Jesus, well, we won't go into a long detail, but a lot of that was done so that those shepherds were there, and the first information came from the angel of the Lord. Angel of the Lord, from heaven, God's messenger told the lowest of the low, the baby is born. And it's welcome to come, welcome to Christmas. Come on down and see for yourself. Here's your sign. He'll be in a cow trough, laying in a cow trough, wrapped in rags. That was the only baby that night in the vicinity of Bethlehem that was born into a cow trough wrapped in rags.
Amen.
And then, of course, the heavenly host, the whole host of angels then, were praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Jesus ultimately would bring.
Don't you think you can hear the herald angels?
Oh, you can hear the rustling of wings.
You can. Don't you hear from the Word of God? Jesus said, come on down also.
Come on, Jesus.
Come unto me.
Come to Christmas. Come to Christmas.
Right.
Come to me.
So do
come
that at this Christmas. Now enjoy your Christmas tree. Enjoy your turkey or your ham or both. But come to Jesus. Thank you for coming and being a part of this program. Come next week, and let's talk about him again.
Amen.